And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce here in Frankfort, Indiana. So glad to be with you again for another weekend of entrepreneurialism, employment, education, engagement, entertainment, and of course, economic development. That's what it's all about here. It's the attributes of a community. Let me explain that. I know some people, I shared that in a narrative the other day, and someone said, you misspelled attributes. And I said, no, I've come up with a new word. It's called attributes. It's the attributes of a community. What makes a community tick? And I believe that it's the E factor, all of the above, especially engagement. When we talk about engagement, what do you think about? And I'll make that rhetorical since you can't answer me on the radio, but as you're thinking about engagement in your life, are you engaged in your family? Are you engaged in your community? Are you engaged at your job, at your workplace? Are you engaged in your church? What are those things that you are engaged in, or maybe you're not? And that's something that we want to challenge you with today, is to be engaged in anything and everything that you have the opportunity to be engaged in. But we're also going to talk today about entrepreneurialism and employment. And I've got a good friend of mine, Jim Scott, who's going to be sharing with us today from his perspective as an entrepreneur. And Jim, thank you so much for being with us on the E-Factor.
Thank you.
Well, Jim is the owner operator of Jim's Heating and Cooling. You're based out of Frankfort, Indiana. But first, Jim, let's backtrack a little bit. What got you involved in the HVAC and heating and cooling business?
Originally, I got into this business about 30 years ago, and the reason I got into it because I knew some guys that were in it. I had a friend that was in it. And, you know, he had a van full of tools, and I thought it was really cool to have a van full of tools. So I kind of pursued it a little bit, and I went to vocational school and learned and got a job in the heating and air conditioning industrial at the same time. And as I was going to school at night, I'd work there during the day, and I learned along the way.
Okay, well, you talk about tools. So 30 years ago, you had to be like, what, 5 years old, 6 years old, something like that? Well, but kidding aside, tools of your trade, but it was something that was kind of like a shiny toy to you. I mean, you were attracted to that. That was something that you could see yourself doing.
Yeah, it was. And 30 years ago, I was 18, so.
Okay.
But I was just getting out of high school and just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I don't know, I was just kind of attracted to this field.
Were you, as a young person growing up, were you involved in putting things together with your hands? Were you kind of a mechanical type of guy, or do you have a mechanical type of mind that you would think?
Yes, I've always been mechanically inclined, and I've always wanted to build things and do things, and my dad was the same way. He was very mechanically inclined. He could do construction. He was actually a millwright by trade. And then he was an engineer before he retired, but he always raced cars. He had lots of race cars. He had Corvettes he drag raced, and every weekend he would change engines and work on his cars, and it was kind of a hobby of his. So I've always been in that, in the mechanical, realm of things, and I've always been mechanically inclined.
Well, you know, Jim, you said you started out with another company. You got your vocational training. You were with another company. What was the moment like when you said, you know what, I think I could do this? And that entrepreneurial spirit kind of kicked in for you. When was that? And then what was that like going through the process of making that decision?
It was one of those decisions, and the way I made that decision is I worked for the company. It was a small company. I worked for them, and I started doing a few jobs here and there on the side. People would ask me if I would do this, and I would do that. And I'm thinking, you know, I could, and for what the company had to offer me, I might as well have been self-employed. So I took on a few jobs here and there, and I just kept growing and growing. And to the point where
on the side, basically.
On the side, yeah. here, and you know, and I didn't have a lot of time. When I say it was growing and growing, I worked a full-time job already, and doing this stuff of the evening or a weekend, it just took a little bit of time away from family. So I kind of had to watch how I scheduled that. But I got to the point where I got some big projects, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to have to make a decision here right away. Either I'm going to work for myself, or I'm going to work for this person. I can't do both. You know, it'll kind of wear on you, but you can't be at two places at once, and all you're going to do is disappoint somebody because you're not where you're supposed to be when you need to be, and you're not getting things done at the proper amount of time. So what I did was I decided to make the switch, and I felt pretty good about it. Obviously, it was something I had to pray about a little bit, and once I made that decision, I did it, and it's been uphill all the way. And it just kept growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, every time I talk to you, you know, you're talking about adding more people, you're adding another vehicle, more equipment to work. The HVAC business, the heating and cooling business, is certainly it would have to be a challenging one because there's so many it seems like there's a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of folks that are out there in our region. How do you set yourself apart from your competitors and all of those that are out there that that are doing the business? Because and here's the thing. We all need air conditioning anymore. We all need heaters. Now, some people, you know, I grew up without one. My dad would say you didn't need it, but I would have to argue with him today because I would definitely have to have it. But, you know, you think about the need, and then you think about all the folks that are out there. How do you set yourself apart? How do you look at your business versus others?
We do things that some of the others don't do or can't do. We're qualified to do some higher if you will, commercial projects, commercial jobs, industrial. We get into a lot of heavy industrial stuff too. So that's something that some of the other guys don't do. I don't know, maybe their guys aren't trained to do it. I think some of it is they just don't have the manpower to handle it too, because it's very demanding when they call or when they need something. You know, you got to be there, and they have time limits and time factors when they want to see things done, especially in the industrial field. We also do refrigeration, so we take care of most of the restaurants here in Clinton County, and ice machines and walk-in coolers and what have you, and we also take care of those for the schools too. So that's something that no one else in Clinton County does, is refrigeration. So most of these companies were calling people from out of town or out of the county, and they were paying them the service call to drive into this county plus their hourly rate. Well, we're right here in town, so made it easy for our customers and our clients to switch to us. We were already doing our heating and air conditioning anyway, and it's just more convenient and more cost effective for them to use us.
Well, we're out here in the middle of Thursday Thunder, so that's why some of the folks hear some of these engines revving up, and it's always fun to be out here at Thursday Thunder, downtown Frankfort, Indiana. It's the first and third Thursday. Talk about entertainment, the other E in E-Tributes that we have here in our community, another E, I should say, and they're just pouring in tonight. We've got a good crowd here at Thursday Thunder. Jim, this has got to be, because you're a community person, you've grown up here, you've got your business here. This is important when we start talking about engagement, to see these kind of things and these kind of events happen. And you sponsor a lot of these things. You're right there with the Chamber and Main Street, part of that. Why do you do that, and why is that important to you?
It's important to me to see the community grow, and it's important to me to be part of this community. I work in this community. We do a lot of engagement with a lot of the community leaders. A lot of the community leaders are I would call friends, and I do a lot of projects for the community, leaders, and for the community of Frankfort. So I want to see the Frankfort prosper. I want to see them going. I want to see all the updates uptown around the square, and just bring in more people. You know, if we want more things in this community, and we want more businesses, and we want to see more restaurants, then our community has to grow. And in order to get our community to grow, we have to be involved. and we have to support that.
Well, and I think this is why, again, Chanology, this is my opinion. So if you want more attributes, if you want more amenities in a community, you've got to fine-tune the e-tributes. And one of those E's is engagement. And we talk about engagement, but engagement can mean a lot of different things, but really at the end of the day, it's networking with people and getting to know people and building that relationship and trust with people that you can dream and you can create vision and you can create drive, because if you put the picture out there, you put the vision out there. How important has in the word or the idea of engagement, ideal of engagement, been to your business? Because I think you kind of built it, or you've built your business around that.
Yes, it's very important. It's very important to be engaged in the community and to talk and with community leaders and people. And I'm just that kind of person, you know. And I like to spend my time with my customers, engaging on their needs and what they want, and in the community and what they want, and what would be the best value for them. Not necessarily the least expensive value, but what would be the best value in my business that I could do to help them. Also, I just find it interesting and to help out and in the community. It's fun to me. You know, I really enjoy it.
Well, I want to get back to your business and going back to the entrepreneurial spirit and entrepreneurship that you have exemplified in our community, because you were coming in where we had a lot of HVAC companies that have been very, very well established here for many years, and they're all great. There's, you know, I will have to say Frankfort. One of the things that about Frankfort and Clinton County is that I think we do have quality people and quality businesses here that really do care about the community and care about people. But as an entrepreneur, you had to set yourself apart, and you went, I'm sure, when you look at your marketing strategy and all of those things. What was the number one thing that, though, or maybe the one or two or three things in setting up your business that you felt like, I've got to get this right if I'm going to be successful?
I think honesty and integrity is the most important thing. I've always taken good care of my clients, and that was one of the things I wanted to get right. I wanted the service to be right. I wanted their cost of service to be right. And I take good care of my customers. You know, sometimes we have customers that just don't, you know, they need a fix. They don't quite have the money, or there's budgeting issues, and I work with him. We find a way. We find a way to help everybody out in some way because there's all kinds of ways to do that. You know, we have the new Shark program here to help people get new roofs and new heating and air conditionings here in the community, and that's through the city of Frankfort. You know, I've just sent a lady there the other day, you know, that I did everything I could to help, and I was at a loss, and I thought, you know, why don't you call up to the mayor's office? I think that working with them, and I'm part of that program, that they could help you. So that was important to me, just to be a people person and engage with everyone. What happened with me is I was just being as honest with everybody I could, and I sell a good product. That was the main thing. You got to sell a good product. And this product that you sell, we have to stand behind, and you need that company to stand behind you, and that really says a lot. So if you can do that and you don't have any issues with your products and you don't have a lot of callbacks, that says a lot for your company too, and doing things right the first time, because we do high quality work and we keep everything we do it right the first time. And so sorry about that. I got a little sidetracked here for a minute. So anyway, but that's important. And so I started this company, and I started out small, and it was just me. Then it was me and my son and I, and It just grew. It just grew into this huge company, and we're the largest one in Clinton County right now. And you know, I just when I first got into the business, you know, I used to pray about it, and you know, I just stay busy and stay the work. But you got to be careful what you pray for, because because I tell you what, it was never ending. It just keeps coming.
Well, honesty, integrity. I mean, I know those are two of your pillars that you have placed in your business that you make it very important. You know, when you think about talk about expansion, the other E that creeps up in this is employment. And how many folks are you employing right now?
Six.
You have six folks full time?
Well, actually, six guys and my office managers, are seven total.
Right, right. So you have seven employees.
Right. That or full time.
That you're feeding every night.
Right.
I mean, that has to be both make you feel good and also understand there's a tremendous responsibility.
There is a tremendous responsibility, you know, and that's one of my main concerns. You know, I've never had a slow time. I've never had to lay these guys off or send them home for any reason. And, you know, I worry about feeding their families. You know, I'm responsible not just for them, but their families, their wives, their kids. The education of their kids, you know, the food they put on their table. And so that keeps me motivated to keep moving and keep the projects alive.
Well, it is something that we appreciate in economic development, that every time we have, whether it be small business or large business, it's important that we have folks with paychecks so that they can spend the money and they can be involved in our community. They can engage in their community through commerce, which is so incredibly important. I'm sure you've seen a lot of crazy situations. You've crawled under houses. You've been on roofs. You've been at a lot of scenarios. Anything? And you've talked about doing some large jobs that you've been able to do. I know you've worked with Purdue University as well. Anything that you've looked at, you go, wow, we just need to back off of this one? Or is there something that's really been a challenge that you go, wow, this is going to be a first for me and I'm really challenged to do it?
I might have backed away from a couple of them before I even quoted the job, but they were kind of a nightmare. They weren't because they were too big. It was because someone else was in there before me, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to do this or not, because it was kind of a mess. But we do have we're working on a large project right now in Lafayette. It's a new manufacturing facilities, and it's huge. And so it's taken a lot of our time and a lot of our guys' time, not right this minute, but it will, because we're scheduled on how long we can do each phase of our project, our HVAC project. So we have to be there and be available. And the challenging is you just can't find enough people. I would have more employees if there were more. I can hire helpers all day long, but skilled, qualified installers and service techs is really hard to find. And I have some that are anywhere from 38 years of experience to, you know, 25, 26 years of experience. So I have those guys, and I have certain areas that I like to send those people to, and I have certain projects that each one of those fits. And so I'll send that particular service tech to the call that I feel that particular tech would handle well. So I can use more, but you know, the problem is there's not very many HVAC techs coming up in the vocational schools and vocational colleges now. In fact, there's not a lot of, everybody wants to go to college and everybody wants to do the same thing. And at this point, a good service tech or an installer, you know, they can almost write their own paycheck. I mean, it's crazy. We just need, more people to engage in a skill. Even if they go to college, you know, it's good for them to learn a skill, and learn how to do HVAC, or learn how to be an auto mechanic, or learn how to do electrical. So we just need more of that all the way across the board, and I think that's everyone's complaint.
Well, we can concur with a 3.1 unemployment percent, 3.1% unemployment rate. I can certainly attest to that. Well, let's talk about that. Now, more than likely, 17, 18-year-old is not listening to this show right now. You know, I'm not that crazy. I understand that they've got things to do. However, mom or dad or a grandma or a grandpa could be listening to this show right now, and they could be hearing what you're saying, and they may have a 17 or 18-year-old son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or great-grandson or granddaughter, for that matter. What would your advice and encouragement be to them listening after they just heard you say, wow, there's a great living? What, you know, when we talk about a great living, we're talking about some good money here as well. What would you advise them to share with maybe that 17 or 18, like you were at 18 years mm-hmm. old, that saw the tools but didn't necessarily know what you didn't have the plan yet? What would you tell them?
I would have to say that I would look into this, and if you're mechanically inclined, get into a trade. If you desperately want to go to college, I don't want to deter that in any way. You should go. Even if you're going to go to a college, maybe look into electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, because there's a place for you there. If you're going in for computers, everybody's doing that, computer programming, what have you. Yes, we still need those, and we'll need those for years.
Well, your systems have even got more computerized.
They do. And we take a lot of training. And to be a Rheem dealer, we are required, because this is not an over-the-counter product, we are required so much training per year. We are required to purchase so much equipment per year. So they have high standards for their dealers. So I would say that, look at what you're going to be doing, what you want to go to college for, see how much money that somebody's been doing it for 10 or 15 years is making, and then look at what you could make if you were in the service field, whether it be HVAC or electrical or plumbing. Because I'm telling you, if you think that you're going to go to college, and you may, and you'll get a job that makes $50,000, you might get into one of these other fields and make $55,000 or $60,000. And the reason why that is because there are far and few between. And the less people in the service industry, the less installers, service techs, plumbers, electricians that are out there, the more money that you're going to make.
Well, I absolutely love your idea. You're talking like my dad did when I was about your age or at that time, 17, 18 years old. He says, son, I don't care what you do with your life. I'm going to support you. I want you to have a good education, but you do need to learn a skill. He taught me how to weld when I was about 12 years old. So I can TIG, I can MIG, I can stick. But he was a welder. He was a pipe welder. He was a pipe fitter, welder. And that skill, although I didn't use it except for one summer, I was welding these hog crates here in Indiana when I first moved to Indiana. My degree was in youth ministry, but didn't have a job. I had to make some money, and that's what I was doing. So what my dad told me, although I've not used it in a career setting, it fed me for a summer. It took care of me for a summer. And the neat thing about a skill is that you will use that even if it's not going to pay you. You may use it around your home. You may use it in your business. You may use it in a variety of different ways.
Oh, yes, you will. And you'll learn from it. This one skill may lead to learning on another skill. And one thing always, a little bit of education goes a long ways, because even on a skill sense, because you will learn how to do one thing always leads to another. When you do something and you make it good and you make it straight and you put some perfection in it, then the next thing you do will be their perfection, and it'll look good and it'll have some skill in it, and you'll have the same thoughts on creating whatever it is that you're wanting to do, whether it's construction or whether it's welding or whether it's putting up wallpaper, for instance. Mm.
Well, and of course, again, HVAC, going back to your business, it has become much more technical. And so when people say, well, I don't want to get my hands. I mean, you put a programmable, when you went over my programmable, whatever, the thermostat in my home, and I'm thinking, I can control the thing right now from my smartphone.
Yep.
It's amazing the technology and where it's come from. And I'm sure it kind of blows your mind on it every day, because you guys have to have continuing education, like you said earlier.
Right.
And you have to be able to keep up with what's mm-hmm. happening.
Yes, we do. There's so much technology on the market today, and a lot of the smaller contractors don't utilize it. I don't know. Some of the older guys are kind of afraid of it. But We have things on the market now that the thermostats will communicate with the indoor and the outdoor unit. It'll tell you model serial numbers. It'll tell you the refrigerant pressures. It'll tell you the temperatures of the refrigerant and the suction and liquid lines. And they are inverter-style compressors. They run on low voltage, and they are very nice systems. They're very expensive, but surprisingly enough, we've sold a lot of those systems because the energy cost of operating those are very low. And so the payback on those, they do well on payback.
We got a couple of minutes, and you bring up a good point before we close off the show. Talking about all of the new technology and the energy savings, there's a lot of talk about solar and wind and looking at renewable energy. How does that impact your industry? And is your industry growing and looking towards being able to connect with renewables and being able to make us, I guess let's call this a smarter home,
right?
When it comes to technology, when it comes to efficiency, and the potential even with renewable?
Yes, I mean, I'm all for it. The smart homes are the thing of the future. I don't think it'll be any more difficult. It'll just be different from the technology that we have now. And they're making products every day that is for the smart home. I mean, we have water heaters out there that right now that are very smart. And you can connect your water heater, and you can set your temperatures, and you can set heat pump water heaters to your cell phone now as well. And so we can connect all these systems, your water heater, your furnace, your air conditioner, we can connect all those, your lighting, everything can go into your smartphone. They can either be controlled by your phone or by a main panel in your house someplace or by an iPad. And who knows, you might be able to just have the little Google thing that sits on the table there and then just tell it, hey, turn up the lights, turn up the air, turn up the heat. And it's all coming, and it's going to be the thing of the future. We've engaged in a lot of geothermals, and with the government 30% tax credits on those, it made a lot of people able to afford the geothermal, which is it's a very good example of green renewable energy, because we're using the ground as our source of heating and cooling, and we're transferring the heat from the ground, we're transferring the heat back into the ground in the summertime. And it's like having a heat pump in Florida when it's 50 degrees. You know, it's never cold 6 foot deep. So it's a good opportunity, and everything's going that way, and the government's going to keep offering incentives for new homeowners and people that want to install new systems to the opportunity to install those things.
Well, yeah, you keep saying it's coming. I think it's here. There's a lot of that technology that certainly right now, but it's growing, and it's becoming more, I know I keep using the word technical, but as we look at the IoT, the Internet of Things, and connectivity, and how Wi-Fi connects everything
right
to almost everything, it's important, especially in your energy, your business. And I like what you said earlier. In your business, it's almost kind of like a doctor as well. You got to be on call pretty much 24/7, because when people's heat in the middle of the winter goes down, or their cooling is down in a really tough summer, you got to be ready to go. Technology can help monitor some of that.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. We can actually monitor some of our systems from our computer at the shop. Well, with the homeowner's permission, of course, because we'll be getting into their Wi-Fi. You know, the problem too that that they're working on right now in some countries and some parts of the of the world, there is what they call cyber. What's the word I'm looking for? Cyber
terrorism?
Hostage.
Holding folks hostage to the internet.
Happened out at Wesley Manor. You know, we've had some controls for the heating and cooling held hostage out there before, you know. And how do you get out of it? Well, they want you to pay them $25,000.
Yeah.
They want you to pay them $25,000 so you can have your controls to your heating and cooling system back. Wow. So we've had to go in and we've had to change the controls, because that's the only thing you can do. You know, you have to change the controls that controls that. And then we have to reset the internet settings and the Wi-Fi settings and the passwords. And then every time that happens, that's what we have to do. So I think eventually there's going to be a way that's not going to be able, that's going to get harder and harder to do. So...
Well, we hope so, because that we don't want to, I certainly want anyone holding me hostage, especially in the dead of winter. So, Jim, it has been a pleasure talking with you today. Jim's Heating and Cooling. How can they contact you? Folks need a new furnace. How do they get a hold of you, or need a new air conditioning?
Well, you can give us a call at 765-601-1461. We're located, we have a Facebook page, and we have a website, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning LLC.
All right, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning. Jim's Heating and Cooling is the name of the company, right? Or is it Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning?
It is Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning.
Sorry, so Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning. I stand corrected. Jim, thank you so much. We appreciate you being in our community. You're a great and engaged guy here in our community, and we greatly appreciate all the things that you sponsor and help us with here in Frankfort, Indiana. Well, that is going to wrap it up for this edition of the E-Factor. Hopefully you will be reminded today that you need to be engaged. You might be the empowerment to someone else's life. You may be the hope in someone else's life. Make sure you get out there and smile and share what you have. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next time.